But come on, any rivalry in world sport, if you get one over one of your main rivals away from home in the final few minutes, it is the sweetest taste.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite, giving you a flavour of Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Wolves nil, Nottingham Forest 3, no stopping us. Forest close in on leaders Liverpool. Are they the legitimate title contenders?
No.
Are they the most likely to finish in the second at this stage?
It's hard to know because that does tend to happen every now and again. It happens pretty regularly, and more often than not, the team drops off.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like it's
can they finish fourth and keep City out? Wouldn't it be much better for everybody?
Fifth will probably do it, won't it?
City, well, fifth probably will do it.
But where are we now? Are we about halfway through? No, is there about 18, 19? Yeah, we're about halfway through. There's about 18, 19 games left. So you're basically asking them to keep up, to replicate more or less what you've done, or drop off to less of a degree than others who will presumably get a bit better as the season goes on and the deeper squads start telling. I don't know. It'd be an incredible achievement.
Forest obviously signed a million players over the last three seasons, so do have a relatively deep squad.
I don't know how it is for quality, though, all the same.
Seems that they're able
you're
to
having
like,
kind of a strange season where like Chris Wood is all of a sudden, you know,
the second coming of.
Yeah, it's like I don't know if you can.
David Hurst.
I'm interested to know that there's a cruel logic to that type of thing of how can he keep that up?
Well, you can keep it up for season, but then you can't do it for a second season. Ollie Watkins looking at you. Potter in talks at West Ham. So Lopetegui's still there. But the West Ham have a tell, right? So their football director is called Tim Steiten, the West Ham United technical director. He didn't show up towards the end of last year at the training ground whenever Moyes was about to get the boot. And he's not at the training ground at the minute. He's focusing on the January transfer window. Meanwhile, somebody somewhere has leaked it that Graham Potter is ready to...
Neither David Moyes nor Julian Lopetegui get on with them.
Ready to take over. Well, they don't now.
They had friction. They've always had friction. Moyes always did and Lopetegui always has.
Really? But was he not around when Lopetegui got hired?
Yeah, but I don't know if it's his decision. He's the transfer committee guy.
It'd be good if you got on with the football director.
I'm sure he tried his best
at the club. This image of Mo Salah, Trent and Virgil cupping his ear was on Instagram last night.
It was on Instagram.
It's Mo Salah put it up.
Specific account without a caption. Let the picture speak for itself. And Salah was busy on social media in general yesterday because he also quote retweeted Sky Sports' video of Jamie Carragher talking about Salah's future.
Yeah, saying.
You're obsessed with me, basically, was the gist of it.
And what was the emoji, though? That's the bit where you get told, you're obsessed with me, or you're obsessed with me. Hey, you're obsessed with me. What is it?
I don't know.
Real Madrid are bullies who bid for Trent Alexander-Arnold after being encouraged by the player's inner circle to approach Liverpool, Jamie Carragher believes. I just call them bullies. They're bullies, Real Madrid.
It's such nonsense.
They've bid on the back of Trent or his agent saying put a bid in because they wouldn't put a bid in unless they get the say-so.
As if Liverpool haven't done the exact same thing.
Real Madrid are bullying us, all those big boys with their white shirts and their hankies.
Sooner it's over, the better.
It was a winking emoji.
Ah, yeah. So he doesn't care. He's just winding everybody up. That's what that means, right? Just translate that for everybody. Mo Salah doesn't care.
No.
Mo Salah's living his best life.
He is, yeah. He's posting that picture with a caption. He's celebrating that penalty like it was the goal that won the league. He celebrated for about 2.5 minutes. Shifty lad.
Yeah.
Maybe Forest are the only team to catch Liverpool. Good morning, lads. Now, like, a ridiculous notion at the start of Shifty. But then you stop and think of Shifty's comments, right, Ger? And I'll bring you back to the 2015-16 season, shall I? Leicester City. When, that year, right, there wasn't really an outstanding candidate to win the league. I think Arsenal eventually came second. Spurs came third, but Spurs kind of blew it a bit. Yeah. It was kind of in Spurs' hands and they blew it.
Spurs blew it.
Now, this year, of course, you have Liverpool, who are the best team in the league. But outside of that, there's not a massive difference at the moment in the form of, say, Arsenal and Forest. At the moment. So they actually could be there or thereabouts. They're not going to win the league, but they could keep it somewhat interesting for people.
Daniel Story is going to join us in a couple of minutes' time to talk to us about the Forest story and the strength and depth they have. From an Irish perspective, Andrew Omamadeli is being linked with Leeds and a couple of other clubs in the Championship.
Yeah.
Great for him to get a move somewhere where he's going to play, particularly at the top level of the Championship, and just get a bit of confidence back, get a bit of game time into him, just remind everybody of his talents.
Definitely. I'm usually very reluctant on behalf of the players if they go down a division, because I think it's very difficult to get back up. But in Amamadele's case, he's not involved at all in Nottingham Forest squads. If he goes to Leeds, you're playing under a former Premier League manager in Daniel Farke. Forest are nearly recouping their entire transfer fee. It's about 10 million. And they paid, was it £11 million they paid?
Norwich.
Norwich for Amamadele. And Leeds are contending for promotion. So if he has a good second half of the campaign in the Championship at Leeds, then he's a Premier League defender next season. That would be it working.
It's 13 minutes past 8. If you want to get in touch with us, 0879 180 180 is the WhatsApp number. You can always get us on youtube.com/offtheball. And a reminder, Off The Ball Breakfast is with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. We are going to talk with Daniel Story in just a moment about the situation at Nottingham Forest and how they've managed to get to the situation where they're one of the stories of the year. Like, absolutely incredible to get to this bit where they are credibly going to compete for Champions League football.
They are, yeah. Their front four is sensational at the moment. You have the double barrel boys, Hudson-Odoi and Gibbs-White. Anthony Elanga, why'd they get rid of him? And then Chris Wood, which Daniel Story can tell us about right now, is sensational. New Zealand's finest. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Can you explain what this is all about with Nottingham Forest? How are they so good? It's not because the rest of the league is underperforming, is it? This is a sole venture here with Nuno and Forest quality.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Forest fans are having to get to grips with it being good, it not being magical, it not being made on kind of dreams being weaved. It is really sensible principles. It's a really strong defence that's led by a new signing in Nikola Milenkovic. It's a goalkeeper who, I mean, last night played his best game of the season, has been brilliant all season. It's a central midfield which has brawn but also creativity for counter-attacking. And as you mentioned, it has a striker in the form of his life at 33 years old with a couple of wingers who are really happy to create for him. So all the ingredients are there, which sounds really obvious. And yet this is obviously incredibly unexpected, brilliant for a Forest fan, brilliant, I think, for the neutral as well.
Mm. Can I take you back to your mindset when Forest announced the appointment of Nuno Espirito Santo? What was your reaction? Do you remember?
I mean, at the time there was evident upset because the manager that fans were losing was the guy who had taken us to the Premier League, and I think was the guy who we wanted to stay for a long time, and we'd not quite wrestled with the reality of Steve Cooper not being Forest manager, because it was such a quick journey from the bottom of the Championship to the Premier League that we wanted him to stay forever. But the reality was that Forest were in a relegation battle. They stayed in a relegation battle under Nuno, and there was a big decision to make in the summer about whether he stayed. But I think we're now seeing the benefits of having him for a pre-season and him getting to kind of do what he wants in the transfer market and manage the squad how he wants. And, you know, at the start of 2024, I think Forest won 2 out of the first 19 games. So it wasn't any given that this would happen, even if Nuno stayed.
Because if you look at their strongest team at the moment, Forest, there's a lot of players do stand out. Like Sellers in goal has been fantastic. He's so solid. He made some brilliant saves. That's like, because Wolves weren't bad. Like, Wolves played well. They created opportunities themselves. They could have scored 3 very gettable goals from my count. Milenkovic, as you've already mentioned, has been a revelation at centre-back since they signed him. And then you have that front four that we already mentioned. So is it as simple, Daniel, as they have a very solid base in defence and a really good goalkeeper, and then they allow the front four to do their thing? Or what specifically is Nuno actually adding to all those elements that are already there for him?
Yeah, I mean, the basic plan is as you say, to soak up pressure and to hit teams lightning fast on the counter-attack. I don't think Forest play particularly well against Wolves, but what they are is incredibly efficient in attack. They scored from their only 3 shots on target. Mm. Wolves had more touches in the box, had more shots on target, but Forest backed themselves to restrict their opponents to efforts from distance. They're far better at things like defending set pieces than they ever have been before. And then when the ball does get through, they've got a goalkeeper who's in the form of his life. As I say, I don't think they play very well against Wolves, but they still won 3-0 away from home, which is slightly ridiculous for Forest fans to think. The other thing that Nuno does is that he starts typically with this back four. And then as soon as Forest get a lead, and one thing they've been dreadful at in the Premier League until this season was holding on to leads. They'd had lots and allowed lots to slip. So now when they get a lead with a back four, after about between 45 and 60 minutes, they bring on a central defender, Morato, they go to three at the back, and they kind of double down on the original plan of, you try and break us down, we've got Morgan Gibbs-White, we've got Elliot Anderson, we've got Elanga, we've got Hudson-Odoi, and we will break on you with pace. And that's what they're doing.